Do you ever wonder what's happening behind the scenes of the multi-trillion dollar fashion industry? In the new podcast, Fashion People, Puck correspondent and 20-year fashion veteran Lauren Sherman and a rotating cast of industry insiders discuss what fashion people are really talking about behind the scenes of the star-studded business, from creative director switcheroos to M&A drama, DTC downfalls, and Met Gala mishaps. Fashion People, a presentation of Odyssey in partnership with Puck, is available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Marketplace listeners, you know around here we like to think you're never too young to learn about the economy and financial basics. That's why we're bringing the Million Bazillion Live Tour to schools to teach important lessons about budgeting, investing, saving, and more. It's all the fun of the podcast, but now live, immersive, and interactive. Special thanks to our tour partner, Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Learn more about Greenlight at greenlight.com/million. That is greenlight.com/million.
There it is, right on the stroke of the bottom of the hour. Hey, everybody, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart. Back, I hope, because you're a regular listener. If not, then welcome. Make today make sense. That's what we do on this podcast. It is Friday today, the 28th day of April.
Hey, everybody, I'm Amy Scott, in for Kimberly Adams. Thanks for joining us for Happy Hour, or Economics on Tap, as we call it. Today, we've got drinks, then we'll do a news fix, and then we'll take a break and play everybody's favorite game, half full, half empty, or as I like to call it, stump the guest host.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I think technically we have one drink today because I'm in the office. As anybody who's going to watch this later on YouTube knows, I'm driving home, so I can't drink. Miss Scott, what are you having?
You don't even have water? I mean,
well, I do.
You gotta hydrate.
I have my very old glass of studio water, you know, whatever.
LA's fine.
LA's finest, that's right.
Studio water. Yeah. It's a whole different kind. Yes. So yeah, I have a kind of a fun one today, actually. I'm drinking a Pilsner from Von Trapp Brewing Company.
Nice.
Which, if the name sounds familiar,
yes,
it's the folks from the Sound of Music movie. They settled in Vermont and opened a lodge and a brewery, and it's this beautiful, like, pastoral scene up there. We spent couple of days in earlier in April there, and brought some home.
That's very cool.
So, and I
think
I promise not to sing "The Hills Are Alive."
Yeah, but
I'll be thinking it.
The was it like the grandchildren or the great grandchildren were some singing group? Weren't there like four of them, and they had some?
Yeah, there were more. It's funny. The movie got some things wrong, as we learned when we were there. There's lots of history. There were more kids.
I think
13 or something.
Yeah, no, all told. But that, no, not that generation, the next generation, right?
Ah.
I think the next generation had its own like quartet singing group or something. I don't know.
Somebody will
look that up.
Yeah.
Somebody will look that up. Anyway, so let's do some news. What do you got?
Sounds good. I'm going to put off drinking this so I can tell you.
Okay.
So, in your neck of the woods, California regulators approved today and yesterday new rules for locomotives and larger trucks that they say will drastically reduce air pollution and carbon emissions, particularly around the ports and rail yards. So I think this is really interesting. The California Air Resources Board voted to set an age limit to retire old locomotives and require upgrades to cleaner engines and eventually to zero emission locomotives. And then the board also approved a rule to accelerate adoption of zero emission medium and heavy duty vehicles. So school buses, freight trucks, delivery vehicles, both in public fleets, but also in some private fleets. All cargo trucks that enter the California ports and rail yards will need to be zero emission by 2035, which is pretty soon.
Yeah.
So you're in Southern California. You know the rules are expected to make a big difference to places like Long Beach and San Bernardino, where diesel exhaust and smog are a huge problem for workers and people who live in those communities. These changes are estimated to prevent thousands of premature deaths and decrease cancer risk near rail yards by 90%. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you've got to imagine there are huge obstacles. For one thing, just the supply of these vehicles.
Right.
We're still so early in making electric trucks. And this is going to be like a million of these things needed by 2035. And also, The reporter on this story, Tony Briscoe, interviewed a truck driver who works at the port. He just bought a new diesel truck recently. And he's like, look, I support this. I'm breathing in that diesel all day. Yep. But you've got to give people like me more time to be able to buy these. You know, there are a lot of these owner operators who buy their own trucks. So I think there will be some resistance, maybe some challenges in getting this done, but could be pretty good for people's health and the environment.
Yeah, it would be great. And just in addition to the supply of actual vehicles, let me just say, as a brand new EV owner, the whole charging infrastructure is going to be really challenging, right? I mean, my little car, well, it's a sort of an SUV-ish kind of EV, right? But it's got a, I don't want to get all geeky, but it's got a 77.4 kilowatt hour battery, and that's a passenger vehicle. I imagine these trucks are going to have ginormous batteries, which are going to take much longer to charge. And even if the technology gets a lot better, that's still going to be an impediment. And I just, wow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see if it's achievable.
Right. Exactly.
But, you know, when you read the IPCC report.
Oh, I know.
About,
well, let's make it achievable.
Climate change.
We?
You're like, we need swift action. We need ambition. Right. So this is what ambition looks like, and we'll see what it does to the market. But as you know, like when California passes something, it often catches on. I mean, they passed the very first tailpipe emission standards in the country in 1966. So what California does can have a big impact.
I didn't know it was that long ago. That's wild.
I had to look that up.
Here's mine. It's a little geeky, but I'm going to roll it anyway. And it's a thing that we all became really familiar with during the financial crisis in 2007, 8, and 9. And it's a thing called credit default swaps. And I know. So credit default swaps are when one party takes out a form of insurance that basically says, look, if X entity defaults on their debt, we will pay you out. Right. And it's simply insurance against a default. Now, why would default be on the rise, do you suppose? Talk of default? Well, because the debt limit is in the news. And I mention that because, according to Bloomberg, I will just read the first sentence. In what is a traditionally moribund corner of Wall Street, speculators are piling into a bet that once seemed unthinkable, that the U.S. government will default on its debts. Trading on credit default swaps is growing as we approach the debt limit deadline, which is, depending on who you talk to, somewhere between June and early September, that the U.S. might not be able to pay what it owes. So Wall Street, being Wall Street, is looking for a way to make money on this. And if the U.S. does default on its debt, if you've got a credit default swap against Treasury bills, you're going to make some money. Capitalism.
Oh, my God.
Ain't it great?
Let's hope they don't make money.
Ain't it great?
Come on.
Ain't it great? Capitalism.
I'm just looking at the headline. Bets offering 2,400% payout on U.S. default lure growing crowd.
Yeah.
Dear Lord.
Crazy, right? Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyway, credit default swaps.
It's funny that I literally shuddered when you mentioned credit default swaps.
Well, think how it was just, it was
some of us are still suffering.
Yeah. Yeah.
A light form of PTSD from that crisis.
Totally. Totally. Anyway, so it's coming back. We'll tell you more as it develops. Done with the news fix. We're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. Drew Jostad, half full, half empty, or stump the guest host.
With the launch of ChatGPT, Sam Altman and OpenAI reinvigorated our imaginations and fears of a world with artificial intelligence. While the company looked like a stunning success from the outside, a battle was brewing within on what the future of AI should be. Almost a year after launching ChatGPT, that battle erupted into a war when the company fired its charismatic CEO, Sam Altman. From Wondery, Business Wars is a podcast about the biggest corporate rivalries of all time. And in the newest season, host David Brown digs into the philosophical differences within OpenAI that culminated in Sam Altman's shocking firing, the chaos that followed, and what it means for the future and safety of AI in the modern world. Follow Business Wars on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. And for more deep dive and daily business content, listen on Wondery, the destination for business podcasts, with shows like How I Built This, Business Wars, The Best One Yet, Business Movers, and many more. Wondery means business.
All right, half full, half empty is the game. Some news topics from the week. We will tell you how we are feeling about them. Drew Jostad is in charge. Go.
Are you half full or half empty on virtual try-on technology?
I don't know what that is.
This would be like an augmented reality mirror
that allows you
to see what a shirt might look like before you buy it.
I thought it was some weird kind of physics with a try-on being spelled T-R-I-O-N, you know, like muons and electrons.
Yeah, oh, that's a different podcast.
Okay, yeah,
that sounds way more interesting.
It's T-R-Y-O-N. I think I'm half full on that. I mean, and I'll tell you exactly why. I went to Target the other day. I wanted to buy a pair of shorts, but Target has closed its changing rooms, and so I couldn't try them on. And, of course, I got them home, and they were too big, so I had to schlep over to Target and take them back. Yes, virtual try-on, for sure, physics or not.
I had the exact opposite experience.
What?
They were too small.
Oh.
But, yes. Yeah, I think I'm half full. It's nice to, I mean, any experience that is kind of difficult for people, like trying on clothes, if you can kind of take some of that out. Although maybe I don't want to see the AR or AI version of myself in a swimsuit either.
Well, that's probably true.
I guess that's why it's half full.
I feel you there. All right. Yeah. Drew, go ahead.
Half full or half empty on the demise of the stretch limo.
I saw that
headline, but I didn't read the story. So are they like really declining?
Yeah, I mean, there was like apparently some sort of automotive show, and there wasn't a single stretch limo. Like, people are like, it's gone, it's dead, it's going away.
Wow.
Huh.
I had no idea. I had no idea. I don't feel strongly. I'm going to say half full because let's evolve and just do different things.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of always wanted to ride in one when I was a kid.
Yep.
But, yeah, I mean, do rich people really need all that space to, like, sit around? And what I really want, though, is the thing where you push the button and the divider goes up. I have so many times in my life, as a parent, wanted that
device.
Well,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, totally.
So, yeah, I guess I'm half full, too.
Fair enough.
Who needs all that room?
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Wait, let me back it up real quick here. So Courtney stuck this in the Slack about the Von Trapp family singers. For an article from Rolling Stone in 2015, grandchildren of Sound of Music Von Trapp family form indie band Sophia, Melanie, Amanda, and August Von Trapp. Their first EP was called Dancing in Gold. That's the title track. So there you go.
We'll have to check it out.
Learn something new every day on this podcast. Drew.
All right. Next topic is half full or half empty on Jack Dorsey's Twitter alternative, Blue Sky.
We were just talking about this before Charlton turned on the microphones. We saw Molly Wood's post on this, and both Amy and I were like, how do I sign up? And I'm still waiting for my little free invite thing. So
yeah, Jack, I want an invite.
I know.
Well, I'm basing mine entirely on what Molly wrote about this. She said it was like a great experience, like Twitter in the early days.
Right.
Yeah, I'm half full. I kind of miss the old Twitter. Yep. I'm not a super user, but I'm kind of a super lurker. I get a lot of information there, and it has grown wearying.
Terrible.
So, yeah,
wearing.
I'm half full.
I'm all the way full. Sign me up. If you work for Blue Sky and you're listening to this, you know how to reach us. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Porsche is bringing back buttons and knobs in the 2024 Cayenne. Are you half full or half empty on maybe not quite so many touch screens in cars?
Yeah, yeah. I'm way full.
Oh, totally.
I'm way full. I have a new-ish, well, it's not new-ish. It's brand new. I think a few too many touch screens for my taste.
Yeah, I still have lots of buttons and knobs in my car. So I think, come on, Porsche. I mean, is this like, it always starts at the high end, right?
Just buy
can we get
a Porsche
Subaru with some buttons and knobs?
Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, I still tell my kids to roll down the window. And, you know, it's like, I'm never going to not say that. So once when they get the hand cranks back, I'll be happy.
You know what's funny is our kids would not know what to do with hand cranks. They would just be like, oh, this is so hard. What are we doing?
It's so hard. And it was hard. We had this old Volvo that was like,
I know.
Yeah, you had to have some serious bicep to get that thing
and
down.
Let me tell you about driving without power steering. Don't make me come back there. All right. Anyway. Drew.
All right. With an AI-generated song out that is supposed to mimic Drake and The Weeknd collaboration.
Yeah.
Are you half full or half empty on AI generated music?
I'm dead empty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's not a drop in that glass.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. I think as it veers toward the artistic, and look, what I do every day on the radio and what Amy does every day on the radio is not artistic, but it's deeply susceptible to AI. And so I'm opposed. I'm opposed. Hard
pass.
Yeah,
but it fooled a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
That's scary.
Isn't it?
I mean, I think it also says a lot about the quality of music these days.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there another one, or was that five?
That's all I got.
That's all you got. All right.
We were pretty cheerful.
Yeah, we banged right
just
through that
one.
Holy
pessimistic.
Cow. Jeez, oh, piezo. We're done. Quickly done on a Friday. Back next week. Today's pod goes up on YouTube later on. We're still working on that live stream thing, but we will figure it out and get ourselves back on a Friday.
Make Me Smart is produced by Courtney Berg-Seeker. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Drew Jostad wrote the theme music to Half Full, Half Empty, and Antonio Barreras is our intern.
Mel Rosenberg, Emily McCune, and Antoinette Brock is the team behind our Friday game. Marissa Cabrera is our senior producer. Bridget Bodner is the director of podcast. Francesca Levy is the executive director of digital and on demand.
Strong communication skills are critical for success in business and in life. Hi, I'm Matt Abrahams, and I host Stanford Graduate School of Business's Think Fast, Talk Smart, the podcast. Each week, I sit down with experts to discuss the best tips to help you with your communication skills, from conflict management to mastering small talk to tackling communication anxiety. Join us and start to develop and hone your communication skills. Listen every Tuesday wherever you get your podcasts or on YouTube.